that your word would never return unto you void. Hallelujah. But it will perform your will in the earth and in our lives as we agree with it, as we obey it, as we walk in it. We will see the manifestation of that word revealed in us. And we thank you for it. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father, for your anointing upon me to minister your word. And Father, we're going to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, shout amen, will you? Amen. Bless the name of the Lord. Now, for according to my notes, ever since August 21st, we've been ministering, I have been ministering to you on the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And so I want to continue this morning and I think we left off the last time I was ministering to you concerning the Holy Spirit. Oh, he's so important to us. Amen. Hallelujah. And I told you that God the Father is the originator of the plan. God the Son, Jesus Christ, carried out the plan. And God the Holy Spirit is the revealer of the plan. Hallelujah. And I'm going to read some from the book of John. I'll tell you where to go in a little bit. But Jesus told the disciples, those around him, he says, I'm going away. I've got to go away. And they were saddened over that. I mean, you know, their Lord was talking about leaving. He says, but I'm going away. He says, but I will not leave you comfortless. Or say it another way, I will not leave you as orphans. Amen. He says, but in order for him to come, I must leave. In order for him to come, I must leave. So he left and he sent the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Amen. And when we were born again, we received the Spirit of Christ on the inside of us, in our inner man, in our spirit man, which we refer to sometimes as our hearts. We received the Spirit of Christ, which is the Holy Spirit. Y'all still with me? Yes. Amen. And matter of fact, the word of God tells us if we do not have the Spirit of Christ, we are none of his. So it doesn't matter what works you do. Doesn't matter how well you can sing. As a matter of fact, it really don't matter how well you can preach. Because those things can be learned. But if Jesus Christ is not dwelling in your heart, if the Holy Spirit is not dwelling on the inside of you, you're not his. Hallelujah. I'm so glad to know today that I have the Spirit of the living God living on the inside of me. And wherever I go, he goes. A matter of fact, wherever I go, I take him with me because he's dwelling on the inside of me. Jesus promised him. He said, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is with you. But he was talking to the disciples before he went to the cross. He says, before he went to the cross and rose again, he says, the Holy Spirit is with you, but he shall be in you. Well, the shall be has come to pass. You're still here. Glory to God. He's living on the inside of us. Glory to God. And not only is he living on the inside of us, he also, if you feel, not only are we to be born again, but we also are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes. With the biblical evidence of speaking in other tongues. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ye shall receive what? Power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. How many of you would agree with me that if it's anything we need today, if it's anything the believers need today, it's power. Yes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. All righty. Turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John. 14th chapter, the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Gospel of John, the 14th chapter. Matter of fact, I think I'll begin reading at verse 12. John 14, beginning at verse 12. Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, let's read on. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I, let me back up there again. If you love me, keep my commandments. You see that? Now, not only was he talking to those that were around him then, he's also talking to you and me now. Isn't it amazing? Think about it. Isn't it amazing how the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ just travels down through the generations right to where we are. Amen. Even when we take communion together, we refer back to what Jesus said. This is my body, which is broken for you, referring to the bread. This is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you eat it in remembrance of me. And after it goes on to say, afterwards he took the cup, after he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. You know what? We are still voicing Jesus' word today that he spoke 2,000 years ago. Hallelujah. So Jesus said here in the 15th verse, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I want to say this to you, saints. We are living in a crazy time right now. And sometimes folks will try to take the word of God and twist it and make it fit what they want to do. Sometimes they try to take the word of God and twist it and make it fit how they want to live. But I'm here to tell you the word of God does not change. If the word of God says it's a sin, guess what it is? If it was a sin 2,000 years ago, it's a sin today. And if it's a sin today, according to the word of God, should the Lord tarry 2,000 more years, which I certainly don't believe he will, but if the Lord was to tarry 2,000 more years, it'll still be a sin. But on the flip side of that, what was good, what the Bible said was good 2,000 years ago, guess what? It's good today. And it'll be good tomorrow. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. Hallelujah. And I just took this little side journey because I think it's important. Jesus says, if you love me, do what I tell you. If you love me, live for me. 24/7. Don't live for me just when you come to church. Don't live for me just because you're around the preacher. Live for me because you love me. We're living in a time now where folk like to impress people. Well, I'm going to tell you something. What you see is what you get. Just because I put on a suit to come preach for you doesn't mean a thing. It's what's in my heart. And it's how I conduct my life that's important. And I am to live it and conduct it the same, whether I'm wearing a suit or blue jeans. Amen. You're still here. Amen. All right. Now, I wanted to camp on this trip. I just wanted to make a little stop here. We just made a little rest stop. But I want you to get this in your spirit. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I didn't say it. He did. Yeah. Hallelujah. All righty. Let's read on. Verse 16. He says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper or comforter, which means helper. He said, I'll give you another comforter, which means helper. Aren't you glad we have help? That he may abide with you forever. Glory to God. The Spirit of truth. Now remember, we read some of this a few weeks back, but I want to revisit this. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. If you know him, say, I know him. For he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans or comfortless. I will come to you. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. I was studying this a few years back. And I was studying it from the Amplified version of the Bible that now referred to as the Amplified Classic version of the Bible. And I want to share some of this with you this morning from verse 16. Let me read verse 16 to you again. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper or another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And so those folks broke it down from the original Greek. And I want to share this with you. This is what the Holy Spirit does for all of us. Hallelujah. This is what he does for all of us that have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Number one, he's a counselor. He's a counselor. Tell you what you need to do when you need it. This past week, my wife was working there in the kitchen. And, you know, working with the kitchen utensils. And I was working outside. But I came in and she asked me if I had seen the knife. Because the knife that she's was using, or the knives that she do use, have a cover on them. Those babies are sharp too. And they have a cover on them. And we saw the cover land on the counter there, but no knife. And we looked through the trash, you looked everywhere, you knew the look, no knife. And I'm thinking, this don't make sense. I mean, there's only a few places you're going to go with a knife, and it's going to be close to the kitchen. So I called her over and I said, let's pray. So we joined hands and prayed and asked God to show us where that knife was. Because we was at our wits' end. We couldn't find it. It just almost like the thing just disappeared off the counter. Well, let me tell you something. He came through for us. Amen. My wife says, guess what? I figured it out. The blade holder was just like the blade holders that we have on in our knife drawer. But this particular blade holder went with the scissors. And she was looking through the drawer and remembered, I had the scissors. And this cover goes on the scissors, same color as the knives. Now, some people may think, well, preacher, that's just simple. You know, you eventually figured it out. But God does it over and over and over again. And I believe you have the same testimony, that because the Holy Spirit is our helper. Amen. So he's a counselor. He will direct you. He will speak to you. He will cause things to happen. And over the years, we've had to rely on him, because guess what? We are human. We make mistakes, we forget things, you know, but he never forgets. I'm going to tell you something. Now, don't get up and walk out before you hear me out. There's some things God can't do. One of the things he can't do is fail you. You can walk away from him, but he'll never walk away from you. He can't walk away from you. He can't stop loving you. Why do I say all these things? Because that's who he is. God is love. That's his nature. God's very nature is to be good to us. When God created the Garden of Eden and set man in the Garden of Eden, Adam and his wife, guess what? He created them a beautiful place. They had everything. Y'all listening to me? They had everything they needed. Lacking nothing. Why? Because God is good. Matter of fact, he's so good, he said, I'm going to create them in my own image and in my own likeness. I want them just like me. But what do you mean by that, preacher? We're spiritual beings. We're not God. We're spiritual beings, which means we live forever. Those of us that are born again, we're going to live for all eternity. Notice I said live. Those that are not born again, they're still spiritual beings, but they're going to exist throughout all eternity. They're just not going to be happy. They're not going to be happy at all. Why? Because we're spiritual beings. We're created in God's image. We're created in his likeness. That is the love of God. God loved me so much that he wanted me to be like him. He loved you so much that he wanted you to be like him, a spiritual being. Amen. So yes, he's a counselor. He tells us what we need to know or what we need to do when we need to do it. We are to be led by the Holy Spirit. I say we are to be led by the Holy Spirit. We need to learn to be led by the Spirit of God. Oh, I need to say that again. We must learn to be led by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. We must learn to be led by because God has a plan for our lives. He has a plan. He has a plan. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah. Remember, I told you the Holy Spirit is a counselor. Turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. I love this verse. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. You know, most of the time you read this around Christmas time, but I want to read it to you today. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful. Hallelujah. What's the next one? Hallelujah. Counselor. Counselor. He is a counselor. Can I help you with something? Thank God for folks that give godly counsel to those that need it. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Thank God for those that give godly counsel. And that's needed. But you know, we can get to a place, we can grow to a place where we have learned how to flow with the Spirit of God, because you're not going to get there if you don't stay in the Word of God. You're not going to get there if you don't stay in the Word. But we can get to a place where God will tell us. We just know what to do. He'll tell us what to do when we don't know what to do, if that makes any sense. Amen. That's the reason Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will lead us and he'll guide us. And listen, it said he'll even show us things to come. Amen. Glory to God. But if you're in the, listen to this now, if you're in the habit of short-circuiting him, it's going to be hard to hear from him. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He's not going to force anything on you. Now, if you're doing something and conducting your life maybe in a certain manner and the Spirit of God has been dealing with you about it and you've been under, we call it conviction, and you know you're doing wrong and God's been dealing with you about how, you know, what you're doing. You ever noticed, you don't have to raise your hand, but you ever noticed, though, that if God deals with you about an issue or issues in your life, it'll start out being strong. Like, you know, you ever done something and you know you shouldn't have done it and you felt real bad about it? But then a few days later, you know, you go and do it again and you feel bad about it. But after about the third time, you feel bad about it, but not as bad. And then about the 15th time, it don't bother you at all. Because the Spirit of God is a gentleman. And we see it all in Scripture where it said God let them do bad things. God let them do it because they were determined they were going to do it. God will deal with you for a while, but if you resist him after a while, it won't bother you anymore. And he works with our conscience. He works with our conscience. Y'all still here? Amen. As the preacher said, I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. But it's the word of God. Amen. We can become hard to the things of God where it becomes hard to hear from him anymore. But I'm here to tell you that the Spirit of God will deal with you until you let him know, I don't want to hear anything you have to say. Then you won't hear him anymore. You can become hard and calloused. We don't want to get to that place. And let me tell you something. Even as an unsaved person, you still have a conscience. Amen. You out doing something you don't have any business doing, and you remember what mama said. You remember what daddy said. But rather than stopping, you keep going. Look at somebody and say, he's preaching real good right now. Tell that same person, say, I hope you're listening. Hallelujah. So let me finish reading verse 6. Thank you, Lord. I'll begin again at the beginning of verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Always remember that the Holy Spirit is a counselor. Hallelujah. And we've already talked about the fact, number two, is that he's a helper. He's our helper. That's what comforter means. He will help us make it through anything. I don't care how bad it is. Are you listening to me? You listen, you may be dealing with something right now as I speak, or you may be watching me and you are dealing with something. Let me tell you something. If you will turn it over to him, if you're not born again, give him your life. If you are born again, do what the word of God says. Cast those cares over on him. Why? Because he cares about you. He cares about us. That's one of the tricks of the devil that causes God's people to be deceived when they feel like nobody cares, not even God. We've all made mistakes. We've all made bad decisions. The wages of sin is death. But let me tell you something. Learn to give it to him. Give it to him. All your disappointments, all your hurts, give it to him. Give it to him because he cares for you. He cares about you. That's the reason some people commit suicide. They don't give it to God. They don't cast the whole care of it over on God. They try to handle it themselves, and they realize, I can't handle this myself. So the only way I know out is to kill myself. Please don't ever do that. Listen to me. Please don't ever do that. Remember what the preacher said. God cares for you. Hallelujah. It's not coming to me right now. Peter, somebody give me the scripture. Tony, somebody, I want to read it. I want you to see it in the scripture. I find it. Thank you. Thank you. It's good to have scholars in the house, isn't it? 1 Peter 5:7. I just feel like I need to go there. Matter of fact, I want to begin reading at verse 6. It says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And that's what gets us in trouble sometimes, isn't it? We try to get ahead of God. We try to get to places that we're not ready for. You know, you can fight and scratch and step on other people and do whatever you have to do to get to a high level. But the problem is you're in a high level, and we see it all the time. We see it out in the world. You get to a high level in life, but because of a lack of character, you can't stay there. In other words, you've risen to a level in life where your character can't keep you. Do I have anybody in here today? So what the word of God tells us to do, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now look at verse 7. Casting all your care. You see that? Oh, I love that. casting all your care, not some of them, all your care, casting all your care upon him, for he what? Cares for you. He cares for you. He cares for me. Say this. Say, God cares about, he cares for me. Say it again.
God cares
for me. Say it again.
God cares.
Why am I having you repeat that? Because some of you need it, and some of you need it bad. And you know who you are. God cares for you. But Pastor, I just blew it. I've just made so many mistakes. God cares for you. Take those mistakes, cast them over on him, and yield your life to him. Get in the word. Get in church consistently. And spend time with him personally. Oh, folks, I'm here to tell you, listen to me. I hope you're listening to me. If you will do that, God will bring you out. Amen. It may not be the way you thought it was going to be. You may not be traveling the road that you thought you was going to travel. But God will bring you out. Now, let me read on a little further here. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, yes, you have an adversary. He don't like you. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion doing what? Seeking whom he may devour. Now I'm so glad that word may is in there. Because he's seeking whom he may devour, which means then that person have to be in a certain condition in order for the devil to devour them. In order for the devil to take them down, they will have had to place themselves in a place where they become vulnerable. And I tell people all the time, walk with God and don't play in the devil's backyard. You can't sometime it. I say you can't sometime it. You know, there's 7 days in the week, and you pick out a few days that are devil days. In other words, you're going to do whatever you want to, how you want to do it, when you want to do it, and nobody better not say anything to you about it. Tend to your business. This is my thing. I'm going to do it. But we still have verse 8 in the Bible. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. Didn't say he is a roaring lion. He said like a roaring lion. He's making a lot of noise. Seeking whom he may devour. So if he's seeking whom he may devour, guess what? There's some he may not devour. Am I preaching to you yet?
Amen.
And he goes on to tell us, resist him steadfastly in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Amen. Lord, why things are so bad for me? Why this? Why that? I just feel like I'm the only one that's having problems. No, you're not. No, you're not. Because the devil is walking around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And I want you to understand something. I want you to understand something. He is watching you. So I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, close all the doors. Close all the doors. We're living in a wicked time in this world. In a wicked time. It's amazing to me that I see people that I've known for years, some of them. Some of them I know personally. There are others that you might see on television. Maybe they have ministries or something. But then you see them slip and fall. And you think, wow, I thought they had gotten beyond that. But you know what? Again, we got to keep the doors closed. Keep the doors closed. Because the devil is a hard taskmaster. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But the Holy Spirit will lead you. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. It's about time for me to quit here. I'm not going to finish this. But he's a counselor. He's a helper. He'll help you make it through anything. He will assist us in any area of life that we need him to. He does help us through the hard times. Are you still here? We'll do one more. Is that all right? He's an advocate. He's an advocate. He will defend you and speak for you in the time of need. The Holy Spirit is on our side. I like what Jesus said in Luke chapter 12. There are other references to it, but we'll go to Luke chapter 12. Turn there in your Bible. Luke 12. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Luke chapter 12. I'll just begin reading at verse 11. Jesus is teaching here. It says, now when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about or what you should answer or what you should say. Well, why, Jesus? For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Oh, hallelujah. He'll teach you in that hour what you ought to say. Give me verse 12 on the screen, please, in the New Living Translation. I want you to see it broken down. New Living Translation, Luke 12:12. For the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what needs to be said. Why? Because he's our advocate. Sometimes when you're in a tough situation, well, not just sometimes, all the time. If you find yourself in a tough situation, don't just jump and move too quick. Take time to listen to him. Take time to listen to the unction of the Holy Spirit. Allow him to speak through you. And he'll do it. Again, we must be people that spend time in the Word of God. Share this with you as I get ready to close. This was a number of years back, actually before I began pastoring, so you can tell how pretty much how long ago that was. Kathy and I went to dealerships, and we were looking at cars because we needed another car. And so we were browsing around in the parking lot. Salesman came out, as salesmen do. And matter of fact, this was in 86. That's when it was. And we weren't planning on buying a car. We just wanted to look. So we were, because we couldn't afford to buy a car, that, you know, but we wanted to look. And we saw this particular car, burgundy, pretty car. And the salesman said, go ahead and test drive it. I said, no, we're not buying a car. And he says, go ahead, test drive it. We'll make you a real good deal. What was that word he used?
The family plan.
Oh, yeah, we have a family plan. And you know, we have a family plan, and we can get you in this car, and it won't be any problem whatsoever, because we can make it work. Won't be any hardship on you whatsoever. Now, that's sounding good, folks, because Kathy and I needed a car. We had four children. In other words, there were six of us that rode around in a small Mazda GLC. Some of you don't know what that is, but it's small. It's for six people, it is. So, you know, this is all sounding good. But down in here, I could hear, no, you don't. Don't buy this car. Don't buy this car. But rather than listening to my heart, I listened to my head. We didn't buy the car. We rented the thing. Remember, Jim? He did the same thing, but he didn't have the problems with his that I had. He was okay. We rented it, and it was, everything was beautiful. Had a brand new car, showing it off to the people, getting compliments from the people. Everything was good until it came time for the first payment. And the money was not there. Holy Spirit tried to warn me, don't get this car. And by the way, they lied on the paperwork so that we could get the car. If they had told the truth, we'd have never got the car because we didn't have the credit. They lied. And we got the car. But we couldn't pay for the beautiful car we got. Because I did not follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. On the inside of me, God was saying, leave, don't buy that or rent that car, don't do it. But how many of you know the Holy Spirit speaks softly? Still small voice. That salesman was talking loud. He was talking loud. And I remember being in my bedroom praying, and I had to repent for what I did. But I was praying and seeking God. And I remember very well the Spirit of God spoke again. What he didn't say, "You hard-headed thing, I told you not to rent that car." That's not what he said. I'm praying about the car. I'm praying about our finances. God said, "Look up." I looked up and said, "Do you have a place to live?" I said, "Yes, sir, I do." "Do you have a way to ride?" And by the way, we had another car that, was that Falcon? I believe it was. Or maybe it was Battleship Galactica. We had a huge, it's a long time ago, but we had a huge, huge, what you call station wagon. We tried to keep that thing running. But either way, God said, "Do you have a way to ride?" I said, "Yes, Lord, I do." And I think to myself, "Ain't what I want, but we do have a way to ride." And I knew I couldn't pay for the thing, so we drove it back to the parking lot, told them we can't pay for it, and we left it there. Well, that didn't help my credit any. But let me tell you what will happen when you turn things over to God, when you cast your cares upon him. I repented for the dumb mistake I made. I shouldn't have never bought that car. But I repented for it. God says, "You have a place to live. You are riding. It ain't what you want to ride in, but you are riding. I'm providing for you." So we took it back. And those folks hounded me. "You owe us $5,500. You owe us $5,500. That's what remained on the car. Kept hounding me about $5,500. Even called me on my job at the office. And that was the last straw. And I told them nicely. I says, number one, don't call me on my job again. And number two, if I had $5,500, I would still have the car. I would pay you if I had $5,500. I don't have $5,500. I says, I'm doing the best I can. To make a long story short, because we cast the cares over on the Lord, that debt was forgiven. It was taken off the records. It was forgiven. And back in those days, Minister Streeter over there, raise your hand. Yeah. He used to tinker around the car business a little bit. And he and the guy he was working with had an Oldsmobile, and we bought it and paid for it, and God blessed us. It's not too late, folks, but you need to get with God. And I'm closing. But let me say, I need to say this to you. This is important. God is not a sugar daddy. Just give you what you want when you want it so you can go out and do your thing. No, God is not a sugar daddy. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And I know some of the teens out there probably asking, "Ma, what's a sugar daddy?" And let me say it a little different. God wants you to seek his face, not his hand. Not what he has in his hand. He wants you to seek his face. You seek his face, he'll give you what you have in what he has in his hand. But that was a learning process for me to follow the Spirit of the Lord. And we all learning. I'm 72 years old. I'm still learning. But I'm going to continue to seek him. I made up my mind. I'm going to walk with him. Amen.
Amen.
And he has promised that he would lead me. He promised that he would guide me. And he promised that he would even show me things to come. And you know he's done that. This very church is testimony to that. And I could go on and on, but I won't. I hope this blessed you today.
Amen.
Learn to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Spend time praising him. And like I told you Wednesday night, spend some time thanking him. Thank him. For all that he has done. But preacher, I don't have very much. Well, I have a question. Are you breathing? Thank God for the air you're breathing. And I could go on and on. Father, we thank you for all that you are to us.